The only reason we can come before our Father with confidence and intimacy and closeness like this is because Jesus alone has made us right with God. He has taken away our sin and shame on the cross. He has reconciled us to the Father, filled us with His Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you've joined us today through this series on the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor Philip, I got to be honest, man, it still amazes me how the God of the universe wants to have a close relationship with me. I mean, with you, I mean, with all of us, really. This is amazing when you consider it.
Yeah. You know, you think of like the president, the most powerful person on the planet or whatever. And it's been a long time since we've had little kids in the White House, but you've seen those pictures, right? And I just, it's amazing to me. If you were a child of the president, you could walk in at 2 a.m. Like normally you can't get in. You get all these gatekeepers and schedule managers and all these people keeping you away, right? But a kid, a child, can just waltz in whenever they want and ask for a drink of water at 2 in the morning, right?
Yes.
And that's the kind of access we have to our Heavenly Father. He's even greater than the greatest person we know. He's the King of the universe, and yet we're a child of God, and He invites us to come anytime, anywhere, about anything. That's amazing to me. And the reality is prayer is ultimately about that relationship. It is about us coming to get to know and to be with our Heavenly Father. What a privilege and honor that is. And Jesus is really going to center us in here today on what that kind of intimacy looks like and how we can have more of it.
Amen. Stay tuned now, beloved, after the message, because Pastor Philip is going to give us some tools on how to pray. Now, whether you have 15 minutes that you're going to devote to your prayer or an entire hour, we're going to get some real practical insight on how to do this. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we discover what prayer is actually designed for. Now, this is part 3 of the sermon, Pray Then Like This. Grab your Bibles. We're in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13.
It's such a simple prayer, isn't it? There's no guile, no magic words or formulas here. In fact, one of the abuses of the Lord's Prayer is that we turn it into ritual and formula. That's the opposite of what Jesus is trying to do here. This is the prayer rising from the heart of a child who simply knows that his good Father is watching over him. Our eyes are not on others trying to look good in front of them. Our eyes are not on ourselves just trying to get God's stuff so we can get by. Our eyes are on our Father. And we're using prayer to pursue Him with childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender. How is this possible? It would be a huge error for us to think, oh, well, we just got to learn to pray rightly, and then it'll work. The reason you can pray as a child is because Jesus made you a child of God. Amen? The only reason we can come before our Father with confidence and intimacy and closeness like this is because Jesus alone has made us right with God. He has taken away our sin and shame on the cross. He has reconciled us to the Father, filled us with His Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. This is the only reason we are children of God. And that is who we are. And so we come to a Father who loves us and who loves to answer the prayers of His children when we come without pretense, without manipulation, without guile, but simply climb up in the lap of our Father with childlike faith and trust. Unless you become like a little child, Jesus will say, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7, later in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 7 through 11, say this. It's relevant to prayer, so we'll deal with it later, but I'm going to drag it back here. This is what Jesus says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Prayer, when it's looking to others, aims to simply find honor and popularity before others, right? But friends, in Jesus Christ, you have been honored to the skies. You have been made a son, a daughter of the Most High God. You are an adopted heir of heaven with rights and honor and privileges thereof. It is who you are as a son or daughter of God. So pray like it. Pray like a son or a daughter. Prayer that looks to others is all, or it looks to ourselves rather, prayer that looks to ourselves aims to convince God to bless us. But friends, if it's true that you're a son or daughter of God in Jesus Christ, you are already blessed more than you could ever imagine. God gave his son for you, and how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? What more can Jesus, can the Father give us? That's Romans 8:32, by the way. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Friends, we have a Father, and he loves us, and he loves to give good gifts to his kids. Now notice, however, that Jesus does not say the Father will give us everything we ask for every time. It's not a blanket automatic. No father worth his salt gives his kids everything they want. My kids will ask me for all of their Easter candy on Easter, and no father worth his salt will just say, here you go. Here's the whole truck of candy, just eat it until you're good. No, no, no. Our Father loves to give good gifts to his kids. Your Father knows what's good. He knows what you need. And so we trust him. Everything we ask is with the caveat, not my will, but yours be done. And we trust in the goodness of our Father that he is watching over us. Prayer that pursues our Father with childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender will always be answered. But it doesn't mean it gets answered exactly the way we want it. Sometimes God says yes, yay! Sometimes God says no. That's harder. But I have to trust my good Father that he knows something I don't. Sometimes God says wait, wait. I'll give it to you later. Sometimes God says, yes, but I'm going to answer this in a way that's so much better than you could ever ask or imagine. Timothy Keller says this, God always gives you what you would have asked for if you knew everything that he knows. God always gives you what you would have asked for if you knew everything that he knows. He knows more than us. This is the thing about prayer, friends. Prayer never works when it's about our agenda, when it's about our ego, when it's about our control. It's not designed for that. Prayer is designed to draw us close to our Father in childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender. And so God says, look, if it's me you want, I'm all in. If it's me you want, I'm all in. Just ask, seek, knock. I'm here. So what do we do with this? Three takeaway ideas, all from this passage. First, pray when no one is looking. Pray when no one is looking. One of the ways you can know that your heart is in the right place is if you can just go into your closet and pray. Go into your bedroom and pray. Just go somewhere where nobody notices and pray. It purifies your motives a little bit, doesn't it? Just you and God, nobody else watching. Just pray to be with him. That's what a child does. Secondly, pray to waste time with God. Pray to waste time with God. What do you do with people you like? You just go hang out with them. What's the plan? We don't have a plan. We're just getting together. We'll make something up. That's what you do when you love someone. You just want to be together. Friends, God wants to waste time with you because he loves you. And he wants you to just want to waste time with him too. No agenda. Not trying to get something from him. Just be with him. Thirdly, pray as adopted heirs of our Father. Pray as adopted heirs of our Father. If you have come to believe in Jesus Christ, if you've admitted you're a sinner, if you believe that Jesus has done everything to make you right with God, if you've committed your life to him, say, be my Lord, be my Savior, be my everything. It means you are now in the family of God. You're a child of God by grace through faith in Jesus alone. And that means you're an adopted heir of heaven. You're an heir of God. You're a son or a daughter of the King. You are called by his name. And so pray like it. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God wants you to come. God loves to give good gifts to the children he loves. So let's pursue him with childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender. Let's ask, seek, and knock. Amen.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. You know, before we start our discussion today, I want to let you know that this program is made possible because of generous supporters just like you. As a thank you for your gift today, we have a resource we'd love to share with you. Simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. We're so glad you've joined us today as we learn to receive more of God in our prayers. Now, Pastor Philip, you quoted Hebrews 4:16 that we can confidently draw near to the throne of grace. Yeah, but what happens when I don't receive what I prayed for? How do I stop myself from defaulting into that orphan mindset when God says no?
Yeah, when God says no to the prayers, the requests that we make, I think it creates a moment, doesn't it, where we have a decision of how we're going to process what just happened, right? And I think there's two false things that can happen in that moment. Either we think there's something wrong with God.
He doesn't love me.
Or there's something wrong with me, right? So like it can be either of those. So sometimes it's like, well, God's not really good. He's not out for my best. He's withholding, you know, he's not a good father. Like that's, our brains can go there because we're pretty sure like, God, if you, this request I've made, I know that's good for me. Why won't you give it to me? Right. And then the other false narrative that we can fall into is to blame ourselves and just say, well, there must be something about me that he doesn't love, to your point. And I think that both of those are traps. Like, think with me for a moment. Like, you're a dad. I'm a dad.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of times you have to tell your kids no, and they say, "Dad, can we do this? Can we have ice cream? Can we do this?" You know, all these things. And you're constantly like, you want to say yes to as many things as are possible, but there's all kinds of things you have to say no to. No to sugar a lot, right?
That's right.
And no to certain activities because they're going to mess up other things, or no to a delayed bedtime because it's going to mess their day up the next day and they're not going to have a good attitude and everyone's going to pay for it, right? And so there's just things that you actually, out of love as a good father, you have to say no to. And so I think one of the things we need to remember is we're children of God. And he knows more than we know, and he has bigger plans and bigger perspective. And so what we've got to do is learn to interpret his knows in light of his larger character, which we've already seen is 100% for us in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And so we've got to not doubt his character when we don't understand what he's doing. And then the other thing is, I think this sort of self-corrective, like there must be something wrong with me, that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes it's because God loves us so much that he's actually, he's saying no, because he knows what's good for us and what's best for us. I think of Jesus in the garden, right? Because Jesus didn't even get all of his prayers answered. Jesus in the garden said, let this cup pass multiple times. And God said, no. And he said, you know, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, right? So think about that. Was God 100% for his son, Jesus?
Yes. Yes.
And was there anything wrong with Jesus? No. Jesus is perfectly righteous and holy, and his father wants what's best. And Jesus didn't get his prayer answered. So if that's true for Jesus, then I've got to look at that and then realize that same thing's going on all the time. And it may not be about me, and it's not about him. He's still good. He's still loving. I've got to trust him in the gap. And so I think what we got to do is zoom out from the moment and the disappointment of the thing we didn't get. And we got to zoom out and realize in the big picture, I know I have a Heavenly Father who's good, who loves me, who's 100% for me. And I know that it's that he's for me, and it's not his disappointment in me that's driving this. I have a good father, and he must be saying no for a reason.
You know, Pastor Philip, you talk about wasting time with God. I want to hear more about that. What do you mean that we waste time with God in our prayer life?
Yeah, well, yeah, that could sound real negative, like I'm just wasting, throwing it away. But what I mean is wasting time with God. We waste time with people we love all the time. We go, we hang out, we don't have an agenda. We're just like, hey, let's just be together. That's what you do with people you love. You waste time together. You go, you hang out, no agenda, no plans, just let's go be together, you know? And that's what I mean. I think prayer at some level, because it is about pursuing God and relationship with him, it's just like, let's go waste time together. Not with an agenda, not with a whole punch list of things I need, but just to know and be with our Heavenly Father. You know, different people have called this different things over the years, but you know, some people call it the practicing of the presence of God.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Paul talks about praying continuously. This like this posture of prayer that just sort of uninterrupts through the day, a willingness to just kind of recognize that God is with me always, and I'm abiding in Christ. I'm walking with the Spirit. Our triune God is ever near, and I have full access. So when I wake up in the morning, I wake up and I thank God for another day, and I open the Word and I'm listening to his voice, and I'm speaking back in prayer, and I'm thinking about all the things on my agenda and the stress points and the things that are on my heart, and I'm dialoguing with God and bringing those things before him. And then as I'm driving in the car, it's little prayers here or there before meetings. Hey, God, okay, this meeting is an important one. I need you here. I'm asking you to show up and give me strength and creativity and help me to give me wisdom to navigate this, or this is a relationship that I'm trying to work on, and I don't know what they need, and I don't know why I get so agitated by them, but like, Lord, I need your patience and kindness. Holy Spirit, lead me. And so, like, you know, it's just like almost an ongoing dialogue of just recognizing that God is near. And one of the things I love to do in prayer is I pray while I cycle, and I'm out on the lakefront trail here in Chicago, and I'm just going along, and I'm watching birds, and I'm watching, you know, flowers and trees, and I'm watching other people, trying to avoid them on the path, you know. But it's just like I find myself praying. I just, you know, something about the rhythm of cranking the pedals and just praying, and the quiet and stillness of that. When we come by the city, I pray for the city, and I pray for the people of the city and the gospel that needs to impact our lives here in Chicago and what it could do to change our city. And, you know, so all those things, it's just, I think there is an intimacy and a closeness relationally in an unhurried presence of God, prayerfulness, that ultimately we that's what we want. We want that. So that prayer is not just a thing we do or a list we bring to Him, but it's actually, it becomes a way of life. And I think that's what Jesus is calling us toward, more of that.
Let's say some of our listeners are asking, say, you know what, I want to spend some time with God when really nobody else is around. Mm. And I think there's the temptation sometimes to say, well, but I don't have a lot of time. I got 15 minutes or maybe an hour. How do they get started? They really want to spend that time with God. How do they get started?
Yeah. Well, I think God wants to hear your heart. And so I think whatever is on your heart, He wants more of you. And so I think the more unfiltered we become, the better. I think the less rehearsed, the less trying to like polish it up and overthink it. The reality is God loves us.
Yes.
And the more we can say, we can start to just conceptualize this as like, we actually have a Heavenly Father who's good, who's loving, who's attentive, who's near, who's not distant and disengaged, but who's leaning in. And the more we can learn to just say, here's what's going on with me. And here's what I need. Here's what I long to have more of from you. And would you be present with me in all the things I'm dealing with? And just, I think that's what the Lord is after. More of that in our heart. Now, the problem is some of that for us is like new muscle memory. We actually haven't built it. And so this is where the prayers of Scripture and the Psalms and other, you know, Christian people down through the years, you know, prayers of the saints are helpful in sort of giving us training wheels to try to learn what it means to sort of bring our full selves before God. The other thing we need is we need to worship Him for who He is, to remind ourselves how big and glorious and wondrous He is, how beautiful His grace is. And so I think those are all really good habits for us to just cultivate in our prayer time.
I really like that last one. Coming to prayer for no other reason than to simply worship Him. I'm not asking for anything today. I don't want anything today. I just want to worship You for who You are and what You've already done. When we get back to that first love, prayer stops being a chore and becomes our greatest delight. It's about bringing our full selves before God in adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. To help you simplify your focus and build that intimacy with the Lord, we're offering Pastor Erwin Lutzer's booklet, Walking with Jesus. Our lives are often so cluttered and so confused that we just lose sight of our primary purpose, knowing God. Pastor Lutzer challenges us to ask one life-altering question, what would Jesus do? By drawing from pivotal moments in the Savior's life, this resource reveals how following in His steps transforms our hearts and our witness. In this booklet, you'll discover how to find strength in dry seasons and experience deep contentment in God, even when you feel isolated or broken. It's a call to step out of the status quo and embrace a life of radical commitment to Him. As you learn to clear out the distractions, you'll find that Christ truly feels at home in your heart. Request your copy and start walking in closer communion with our Savior. Like the words of the old hymn, "Just a closer walk with Thee, granted, Jesus, is my plea." Now, this is the last week to request your copy of Walking with Jesus for a donation of any amount. Simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Worship reminds us that our God is bigger than any problem we face. And next time, we'll talk about how Christ brings us to God as Father. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.